Looking to pick up a new hobby? We'll try out Agogi Combatives. Agogi Combatives is a 17,000 square foot MMA facility located out in Rossville, Georgia, just a small drive away here from downtown Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I'm recording this podcast. And at Agogi, you're going to learn from the top MMA coaches in the region, like Matt Harris, Torres Finney, Jazzy the Jazzmanian Devil Sergeant, and it's seriously the top MMA that you can learn here in the region. If you want to learn more, like their Krav Maga classes, youth wrestling, and striking, head over to agogicombatives.com. Once again, that's agogicombatives.com.
Now you're all in big, big trouble. You're suspect.
This is how I went.
All right, we are back here on the Watch It podcast on a crazy Friday here. It's been a busy week for everybody I know, really. Everybody I know has been having a busy week, myself included. Apologize for any sniffles or anything like that. Feeling a little under the weather this week, along with being incredibly busy. So, it's been a hell of a week. And now, I was looking forward to some UFC this week with UFC 279, Khamzat Chimaev and Nate Diaz. And now, this fight, and the entire card is in jeopardy. So, I have the Twitter feed pulled up here in front of me. So if there's any updates, I will update this podcast as we record. So we have several things I want to get into today. Obviously going to talk about all the UFC news that's dropping right now. I agree with Ariel Helwani. I've been covering MMA for about 3 years now at this point. And I think this has to be one of the craziest days that I've personally had. Ariel Helwani says it's in his top five. 100% agree. We're also going to get into some NFL Week 1 talk and how I feel about Rams and Bills and what happened there last night. But let's go ahead and get into MMA, specifically UFC here. It's UFC 279 scheduled for tomorrow night. Main event, Khamzat Chimaev, Nate Diaz, Kevin Holland also fighting on this card, and of course, Tony Ferguson. So the drama with this card started 2 days ago, or perhaps last night, on Thursday, where the press conference was scheduled, and they got a couple questions in. Nate Diaz had just a little bit, just solo, and Tony Ferguson did as well. And then right before they're about to bring everybody out, Dana comes out, Dana White, UFC president, comes out, and it starts clearing things off the podium and off of the desks where the fighters are going to sit and take the questions from the media and the fans. And he says, I hate to do this, but for the first time in the history of this promotion, I have to cancel this press conference for everyone's safety. And here is allegedly what went down last night. And strap in, because it's a lot. It's a lot. So they had the pre-fight press conference, just solo interviews that were going down. Nate Diaz, and here's the thing, is it just, nobody seems interested in this card whatsoever at all, you know? Nate Diaz was out there saying, I stopped training for it. Beat me, whatever. Unbelievable. And here's what came in for allegedly what happened backstage. It said, Khamzat Chimaev pushed and kicked Kevin Holland in the chest. Chimaev was reacting to things that Holland had said previously on social media and in person, and it set him off. The fight was broken up before Nate Diaz and his crew joined in. Very interesting. Very interesting. All of this comes from ESPN MMA and Ariel Helwani from The Ringer. So that initially is crazy. And we've had spats like this in the UFC before. The most notable of these is going to be Conor and Khabib Nurmagomedov, him throwing the divider into the bus and then Khabib jumping into the crowd. That's a pretty big one. But this is just bizarre. And then it gets even more bizarre as time goes on. So today during the weigh-ins, Khamzat Chimaev misses weight by a pretty significant amount of 7.5 pounds. And he sort of shrugged it off. He said he rolled his shoulders and was like, it's not by that much, smiles and walks off. But that is a big time missed weight right there. So here's what's happening now. So if the event continues tomorrow, it sounds like Khamzat and Nate is off, which that's good for me because I was not even remotely excited for that fight. And what they're aiming for now for their main card is going to be Nate Diaz and Tony Ferguson fighting at 170. The co-main event, Khamzat Chimaev and Kevin Holland, a catchweight bout. And that's really what they're looking on changing. Really bizarre. Really bizarre. And then to make this even more bizarre is there's reports that Dustin Poirier was called and to step in and he accepted. He had a pilot and a jet on standby, but nothing moved, as according to Ariel Helwani, who I'm referencing a lot here. He's probably like the premier MMA guy. And they really want Diaz and Ferguson. They really want that. So here's a new update here. Sounds like Diaz and Ferguson is going to be a 5 rounds main event. It's moving in the right direction. Not done, but it's looking good at this time. So I'm going to keep this pulled up here. I'll refresh every now and then, see if there's any updates. But for now, let's go under the perception when I give my predictions and takes on this card that it is going to be Nate Diaz and Tony Ferguson and Khamzat Chimaev and Kevin Holland. Those are the two big fights that will be changing. That's what we're going to go for there. And honestly, this is probably the best case scenario for this card because I was prepared yesterday to come in here and tell you that I feel like that there was a little bit of tomfoolery on the UFC's part with the drama that unfolded backstage. Because, I don't know, I didn't really buy it when it first came out. You know, when the Conor thing happened, when the Habib thing happened, when all of this stuff happens, somebody has a camera rolling and we see it. Everybody has a little camera in their pocket now. Social media is very prevalent. So when all this news came out, you know, the press conference is canceled. There's a lot of people back there at those MMA events. A lot of people walking around. And sometimes a lot of people walking around who aren't very familiar with what's happening. So I found it a little hard to believe that this all unfolded. And nobody caught it. And I'm not speaking this as fact, obviously. I don't have any sources inside of the UFC that are confirming that it's Dana was making this shit up. But it's just bizarre because we always have record when these things happen. Except now, there's a big dark spot when one of the biggest names in the UFC, two of the biggest names really in the UFC, are involved in a major altercation. An altercation, in fact, that's so great, for the first time in the sport's history, it has to cancel a press conference. I'm sorry, but I just don't buy it. And here's another reason I don't buy it, is interest for this card is meteorically low. And that's not what the UFC wants. It's really not. The main event originally was Khamzat Chimaev and Nate Diaz, a fight that I don't think a single soul in the MMA sphere asked for. I know I certainly didn't. I know nobody that I know who follows UFC or any MMA level, rather, wanted to see Khamzat Chimaev and Nate Diaz. It's just not. Nate and Tony, sure. And now that the card's been shaken up to get Nate and Tony maybe fighting, suddenly, at least for me personally, my interest has peaked a little bit more. So if this is all a ploy by the UFC, maybe it worked. Maybe it's not. I just find it a little fascinating that there's always a record in every major sport now. And I would put the UFC right up there in terms of popularity with some of the big four. NHL, NFL, MLB. I put MMA right up there. And the NBA, of course. Not saying it's as popular, but it's just as prevalent. And there's a whole world of coverage out there that's very on top of this kind of stuff. So it's just weird to me that we don't have a visual record of this, or audio, or photos, or anything. At least that I haven't seen. I haven't seen any. And I'm pretty in touch with all this stuff. Let's get a quick little refresh here, see if any fights have been confirmed. Nothing yet. Last update, of course, Nate Diaz and Tony Ferguson looking good for the main event. So, it's just interesting. Because now, all of a sudden, I've piqued my interest. And if I was out on this card before, as someone who really, really loves MMA, I imagine now some of the more casual fans who are eager to see Nate Diaz's last fight go against Tony Ferguson, who would arguably is probably his last fight too in the UFC. This card just got way more interesting to me. So let's break down the card as a whole. It's going to be UFC 279. Of course, none of these fights are final now at this point, which is weird because the event is about 24 hours from now. Prelims are going to be starting on the East Coast. It's going to be out in T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Right now, Khamzat Chimaev and Kevin Holland set. So let's see. Well, not set, but assumed. Of those two, I'm 100% still taking Khamzat Chimaev. As he's lost some of my respect, I feel like, and fandom that I had for the guy building up, you cannot deny that he is an absolute monster. For example, when he was going into the fight with Nate Diaz, he was a minus 1,150 favorite. Nate Diaz plus 750. Which that doesn't shock me. Nate Diaz's last fight was against Leon Edwards in 2021. And look how that turned out. Leon took most of that fight straight from his hands. And then in the last round, Nate clocks him and doesn't do anything to capitalize on it. So Khamzat and Kevin Holland, not to discredit Kevin Holland there, he was originally slated and may still be slated to fight Daniel Rodriguez. In that fight, he was a minus 200 favorite. Daniel Rodriguez plus 170. But Kevin Holland, you know, he's a great fighter, but he's just not on that same level to me as Chimaev is right now. Chimaev is a guy who could get a title shot today, and I would feel like it was perfectly acceptable. And for Tony Ferguson, going against Nate Diaz, that's a way better fight than we have now. It's going to be at 170. I like that because these are two guys to me who are very similar. I feel like Tony's in a little bit of a better spot in his career than Nate is right now. Tony most recently fought Michael Chandler. Got the head kick out cold. But hey, you know, that's a good matchup there. Difference between Nate and Tony is still the number 11 welterweight in the world. So we'll see. We'll see about that. It's just weird because it's like I'm not sure how this card is going to be going down. And it gets even weirder as Chris Barnett just weighed in as the heaviest UFC fighter of all time, missed weight and heavyweight. Good God, this card is a disaster. Now it's just like I'm curious how it all turns out, how the mess unfolds. Because, like I said, it just is weird how the interest in this card was at an all-time low, and now all of a sudden, UFC 279 trending on Twitter, doing all this. Very, very fascinating. So we'll see. Going to check again for an update here on UFC 279, those matchups that are possibly unfolding. Looks like still no full update there yet. But if that comes up, I will update you. I do want to speak upon a fight that is coming up here shortly that has just been announced, and that is going to be Michael Chandler and Dustin Poirier. Which is weird how that works out because Poirier was called about possibly fighting on this card tomorrow. So I'm not really sure what's going on here, but as of now, the fight is on. It's going to be at Madison Square Garden with the same card as Izzy and Alex Pereira, which is going to be a stacked card. Very excited for that one. And this is interesting because Mike Chandler, his last fight was against Tony Ferguson, as we mentioned earlier. He got the head kick, knocked Tony out cold. And then for Dustin, it's been a minute since his last fight. His last fight was his title shot against Charles Oliveira at UFC 269. And then prior to that, his fight was his victory over Conor McGregor, which was McGregor's last fight. And for Dustin, this is kind of the perfect fight to make because Mike was looking to either go against McGregor, which that was his big call out after he beat Ferguson, or he also was interested in maybe getting the title shot again against Charles or Islam. So we'll see what happens there. Excuse me, Charles or Gaethje, which he previously had fought Gaethje in his fight before Tony Ferguson, that won, I believe, fight of the year. At least if it didn't, it should have. So this is a really great matchup for both of these guys because for Poirier, you get a guy who is one of the bigger names in the UFC again. And then for Chandler, it's kind of the same thing. Dustin Poirier is one of the biggest names in the UFC. And for Chandler, another thing is this is the middle ground between the Conor fight he was looking for and the title shot he's looking for. Because Dustin's a massive step up in competition from Tony Ferguson. He just is. He's a younger, significantly more well-rounded fighter. And then you could say the same thing for Dustin, where Dustin, in his title shot, yeah, he rocked Charles Oliveira, but at the end of the day, it was a very similar result to what we saw from Khabib Nurmagomedov and Dustin Poirier. Poirier gave up his back, boom, fight was over. And Chandler, yeah, he's the All-American wrestler, but Chandler's gone way more for striking in his past couple fights. And Chandler is not one to be shy about giving up damage to himself. So that works for the kind of brawling style that I feel like this fight is going to become. So I'm very excited for that. I think there's high chance that that is going to be fight of the year. I really do think that that is on the rise there. Really exciting fight that's going to be coming up at UFC 281. That's two events from now. It's going to be at Madison Square Garden in New York. Izzy, Alex Pereira, Carlos Esparza, Zhang Weili, Dan Hooker, Claudio Puelles, Brad Riddell, and Renato Moicano. Also going to be fighting there. So really stacked card. Really, really, really stacked card. Matt Frivola is also going to be fighting. Man, this is really shaping up to be an astounding card. And then 280, the one prior to this, is Islam Makhachev and Charles Oliveira, the lightweight title, which is everyone's favorite division in the UFC. But I will continue to stay tuned here as we continue this podcast, as we hit the NFL side of things, as we go into week one, or continue week one, rather, as we had our first game yesterday. Going to talk about the Bills and the Rams matchup, what I thought of that. Is it really a Super Bowl preview? Do we still think that? And then we're going to go through all of the rest of the games for week one, give you my picks and predictions. Don't go anywhere. This podcast is presented by ESPN Chattanooga, or ESPN 95.3, whichever one you prefer. That is going to be Chattanooga's sports leader, and we have several shows here. Of course, you're listening to the Watch It podcast, leading the digital side of things, and then on our terrestrial radio signal, ESPN 95.3 here in the Tennessee Valley, as well as on ESPN Chattanooga.com and the ESPN 95.3 app presented by Ruby Falls, where you can listen live each and every day, all throughout the day. We have the Word with G from 12 until 2 with Greg Larnard. And then on Tuesday and Thursday, he is joined by KJ Simpson to go over all of the high school football in our region. Lundy Longstreth joined them last week, who you can also hear on the station. And then every weekday from 3 until 6 p.m., we have Press Row with Wells Guthrie and David Pascal breaking down the latest in the local, regional, and national sports scene. You can hear all of those shows on ESPNChattanooga.com and the ESPN 95.3 app presented by Ruby Falls. All right, we are back here on the Watch It podcast. Time to talk a little bit of NFL after navigating that crazy, crazy world for UFC 279 that we have going on. Absolutely unreal. One of the craziest situations that's ever gone down with a card. I don't know of anything in recent memory that's been quite like this. But hey, here we are. And also, we have made it. It is officially the start of the 2022 NFL season. We had a hell of a game last night for some people. That was going to be our debut out in SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. That was going to be the Los Angeles Rams, the reigning, defending, undisputed champions. And then they went against the current Super Bowl favorite, the Buffalo Bills. And it was no secret that on the podcast I did with KJ previewing this upcoming NFL season, that I was a big fan of the Rams going into this. I liked the additions they made to the receiving core to add on with Cooper Kupp, especially with Matt Stafford, how great he looked near the tail end of that season. But then those stories started coming out that he had this weird baseball injury. He had these complex injections into his elbow to try to solve that. And we'll need to kind of wait and see, because Stafford had the most Madden game ever last night. He threw three picks, but Cooper Kupp still somehow had over 120 receiving yards and looked incredible. Trust me, I know Cooper Kupp's on my fantasy team. The Rams, they look tough, and a 31-10 loss to the Bills. And for the Bills, I can't think of enough good things to say about them, man. Let's start with all the positives, because there's only one negative I can think of about the Bills. Josh Allen. Of course, we're still in the positives. I can't have nothing bad to say about Josh Allen right now. Josh Allen came out there and looked like Tom Brady. He was efficient. He was fast. He had a hell of a stiff arm there. Able to find Stephon Diggs and all of his receivers way downfield, even in the close range, able to find them. Extremely impressive. I now understand why all these people out there were reaching for him in fantasy. I really do. I really, really do understand now. And speaking of his receivers, man, Stephon Diggs cooking Jalen Ramsey alive. Absolutely just boiled him. Seafood boil. Shrimp. Sounds real good right now. I think I might get a shrimp wrap after this. Stomach's talking to me now. And another thing with the Bills is the defensive unit, and this is another thing. It's like a lot of people in fantasy were reaching up, trying to grab that Bills defense. And in one of my leagues, someone drafted Josh Allen with a second overall pick, which was great because that allowed Cooper Kupp to fall down to me. Didn't want to take Christian McCaffrey. We'll touch on that in a little bit. That allowed him to fall down to me. And then in the subsequent two rounds, so in round four, he went ahead and just grabbed the Bills defense. And this guy has a lot of points right now sitting on his fantasy bench. As he actually decided not to play the Bills defense, he started the Browns defense. Fascinating. Very fascinating. Von Miller, man, you know, say what you will about him. I know a lot of people had considered him kind of washed up coming into last season. And then, of course, his role with the Rams, you really got to see him back in action, leading into a Super Bowl victory. And now he's a massive part of what was already a stellar Bills defense, and they showed up against the Rams, held them to 10 points, got three picks out of Matt Stafford. And the problem with the Rams is I hyped up that receiving core so much only for the kind of the same thing that happened in the Super Bowl to effectively employ itself as the strategy that Stafford and the Rams offense and McVay was looking for, where it's going to be really Stafford and Kupp. A lot of throws are being forced to Kupp. That just was never going to happen. And I also don't know what was going on with Cam Akers, man. Where was he? One touch last night. And for people who are shocked about that, remember what happened with Sean McVay and Todd Gurley in the Super Bowl? Where Gurley got virtually no touches? Makes you think. Really makes you think. For the Rams, it's a tough loss because it totally shifts perceptions on what I was expecting from them in the season. And it's not just me. A lot of people out there are doing this revisionist history right now where I listened to those podcasts too. They were into the Rams. They loved the Rams. And now they're kind of backing up. I'm not necessarily backing off of the Rams for now, but I am going to take some of my Rams stock and maybe invest it in the Bills. Because if you look at the Bills' schedule, they have a pretty simple one heading up. Next game against Tennessee. And who we'll touch on later, who I think is going to be pretty abysmal this season. But we'll see. Big win for the Bills there. All right, we're going to run through all of the matchups here for week one. All 32 NFL teams are playing, and I'm going to give you my take on each game going through here. So let's start with our 1 o'clock games. First one is going to be Saints and Falcons, the rivalry there. For the Saints, no Sean Payton, got a new coach in there. Jameis Winston returns. Michael Thomas should be coming back. He's listed as questionable right now. For the Falcons, two notable subtractions. Matt Ryan, of course, heading over to Indianapolis in that trade. Marcus Mariota going to be getting the starting job. And then no Calvin Ridley due to the entire season being suspended for gambling. Reminder, Deshaun Watson suspended 11 games. There you go. So just take that as you will. Really not a fan of the Ridley suspension. But nevertheless, we do have Saints and Falcons starting off the season there for both teams. This is going to be at the Mercedes-Benz Arena in downtown Atlanta. Wonderful stadium. I don't think the stadium is going to be packed with Falcons fans, though. I think a lot of Saints fans are going to be here because the Saints smell a little bit of blood in the water here with the Falcons, as all of the NFC South should probably be doing, because the Falcons are a very, very weak roster right now. Cordarrelle Patterson and Drake London are their two biggest offensive weapons. That's saying something. That's really saying something, because there's not a whole lot to look forward to else on the Falcons side. Defense a little bit better. Injury prone, though. But that being said, not ridiculously stoked for the Saints either. Jameis, okay. 30 touchdowns and 30 picks a couple seasons ago in his year, last year with the Buccaneers. And I just don't know. It's a lot of things with the Saints. It's just an intangible. We have Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, obviously. Thomas had an injury plague previous two seasons. And then Kamara, pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm not a Kamara guy, but do I think he's one of the top three running backs in the league now? No. Definitely don't think that. Do I think he's going to have a good game against the Falcons? Absolutely, because the Falcons, to me, are gunning for the number one overall pick next year. And this, I'm going to be taking the Saints. Let's go Saints by three. I'm going to go Saints by three in this one. Classic Saints-Falcons game. I feel like it always goes that way. But our next game is going to be my most interesting game, in my opinion, of the entire 1 o'clock slot. That is going to be the reunion between Baker Mayfield and the Browns, the Browns and the Panthers. This is going to be at Bank of America Stadium, in Charlotte. Browns going to be starting Jacoby Brissett as Deshaun Watson suspended 11 games. Baker looked real good in the preseason. So I'm excited to see this. I'm still a Baker guy. I'm not going to lie to you. I really am. I feel like there's some bad juju surrounding the Browns with their decision to go for Deshaun Watson, ship Baker off to Carolina. I'm going to be taking the Panthers in this one by 10. We'll just change that by 7. I'm going to take them by a touchdown. Moving on, we have the San Francisco 49ers. They're going to be heading over to Soldier Field to take on the Bears. The Bears, in my opinion, going to be one of the worst teams in the NFC, if not the entire league this year. Made subtractions on both sides of the ball that are nothing but a detriment to the team. They lost Khalil Mack to the Chargers. And then for San Francisco, that's a really good squad they have there. There's just one big little question mark looming over the 49ers. And that is, what the hell are they doing with Jimmy Garoppolo? Because it sounds like, by all accounts, that Trey Lance is going to be their guy this season. So why wouldn't you ship off Jimmy somewhere? Maybe there wasn't a market for him. Okay, you can release him. No, they gave him a $15 million extension. Bill Simmons says it really well. It's like, why would you keep the passenger? It's like if your kid gets a driver's license, but you act like they still have their permit. It's never going to help them just to have you over their shoulder the whole time. At some point, you got to hand them the keys and let them go. And that's what I think they need to do with Trey Lance. And hey, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But you have to consider that Jimmy G damn near won you the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and he almost got you back there last year if a couple plays would have gone his way in that Rams game. So I don't know. I get it, but at the same time, you need to be a little bit more decisive with your decision-making in the NFL. In this, I'm going to be taking the 49ers. Let's go by 14. Then our next game, we have the Steelers and the Bengals. Steelers, I'm not very high on them as a team this year. They have Mitch Trubisky is going to be their starting quarterback and a weak offensive line. Mitchell Trubisky spends a hellacious amount of time in the pocket. That pocket is going to collapse very fast this season. And for the Bengals, that was their problem last year with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow obviously took a massive step up, and they took that big step with a very, very weak offensive line. They've bolstered that, and I'm very high on the Bengals. In my opinion, I seriously see the Bengals potentially winning the AFC once again. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. So I'm high on the Bengals. I'm going to go Bengals by 14. Coming up next, a really interesting matchup here between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Detroit Lions. The Eagles, people very high on them offensively. Jalen Hurts, a lot of expectations and eyes going to be on him this season. Seems to have made a big step up. They have A.J. Brown pulled from the Titans. And then their defensive unit got some two Georgia Bulldogs, N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis. And the Lions, a lot of people getting sucked into the Hard Knocks hype, and for good reason. They have a great coach, and they've made some serious adjustments, and their quarterback's not all that bad. And I'm not even going to lie to you. I feel like momentum's on the Lions' side. Give me the Lions by three in an upset here. Let's do it. Let's take them. Lock it in. Moving on, we have Matt Ryan's debut with the Houston Texans, with the Indianapolis Colts going against the Houston Texans. Texans' potential to be one of the worst teams in the league once again. Not a whole lot to look forward to in terms of offensive talent. Rex Burkhead and Brandon Cook's going to be your two best names on that team right now. Defensively, not a whole lot standing out on the Texans' sides either. Where for the Colts, they have Jonathan Taylor, obviously, who was the league's leading rusher last year. And then, of course, they added Matt Ryan, which is a big upgrade from Carson Wentz. Big-time upgrade from Carson Wentz. Pretty clear cut here. Give me the Colts by 14. And speaking of Carson Wentz, his debut with the Washington Commanders, going to be going against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence entering his second year. New coach Doug Peterson, formerly the coach of Carson Wentz when they were at Philadelphia together. For those reasons and more, as they say on Shark Tank, I'm going to be taking the Jags. Slight momentum to the Jags' favor. Cannot be worse than last year. You can't say it's hard to regress like that. And then for the Commanders, what a shitty organization, man. If I got drafted the Commanders, I'd be pissed. Not a whole lot of positive movement in any direction. You know, you can take a step back and it still feel like a positive step at times because you can see the rebuilding path become more clear. But for the Commanders, it's just step after step back. They get sent back and forth. Terrible organization, terrible ownership, terrible stadium, terrible talent on that team. Not necessarily terrible talent, just terrible application of that, just being wasted away. I don't think Carson Wentz was ever the answer for any NFL team. I think this is actually Wentz's last season in the NFL. Give me the Jaguars by 7 because I still don't think the Jaguars are going to be that great of a team. We have the Ravens and the Jets. Another game to look forward to here. The Jets, some positive momentum here. The path is becoming a bit more clear. Ravens had some big news today. Lamar Jackson did not get a contract extension done. He is still going to play, and he's entering a contract year. And I have a feeling he's going to go on an absolute tear. And the Jets are going to be his first victim. Give me the Ravens by 17. Then we have the Patriots and the Dolphins. This one's interesting, an AFC East matchup. Patriots, as you've probably heard everywhere, looked pretty horrific in the preseason offensively. They looked very bad. Mac Jones, not sure how he's going to step up a little bit more going into the season. And for the Dolphins, we still have Tua behind center, but they also added Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle looks to be making a big step up. For this, I'm going to be taking the Dolphins by 14. But I'm not necessarily fully out on the Patriots. Here we go. We got the Pooper Bowl at 425 on Fox. It's going to be the Giants at Nissan Stadium going against the Tennessee Titans, the home state team here. I'm pretty out on both of these teams here. For the Giants, yes, they added Brian Daboll in the head coaching position, who is a massive improvement from last year, who they previously had. But they still have Daniel Jones as their quarterback. And Saquon Barkley has a big question mark above his head every week with injuries. I'm really hoping for a big step up from Saquon, but I don't expect a massive step up from the entire team. And for the Titans, they lose A.J. Brown. They have Derrick Henry, who is inarguably one of the best running backs in the entire league. So we'll see what happens there. But I feel like this team is the weakest it's been in a while. Where prior, let's say the past three seasons will be our sample size, I felt positive direction moving in favor of the Titans. Each year I felt like there was a new addition that was working out quite well. this year, I feel like there's been a step back, which is not what you want to have. Not what you want to have at all. So I'm going to be still, that being said, I'm going to take the Titans by a touchdown, maybe two, because the Giants are just that bad. 425 CBS, it's going to be the Chiefs and the Cardinals. For this, going to go ahead and take the Chiefs here. I'm not out on the Chiefs like a lot of people are. I'm really not, man. I like the Chiefs here. The more I see from them, the more I like them. They lose Tyreek Hill, but they're still Travis Kelce. They're still Patrick Mahomes. Marquez Valdez-Scantling's there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is there, who I'm expecting big things from. And then for the Cardinals, they're going to be without DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games. That's a tough loss. Tough loss there. Tough loss. Got the Chiefs here by 14. And then another fantastic matchup here. It's going to be an AFC West matchup. The Raiders and the Chargers going to get our first look at the, Davante Adams in a Raiders jersey, working with Derek Carr. Very weak offensive line for the Raiders going against a very strong Chargers defense with Khalil Mack being added to that. For those reasons, I got to go for the Chargers probably by seven. Packers-Vikings going to be another game here on Fox. This is going to be my matchup of the week here. Packers are a team I like a lot this year in the NFC, and the Vikings, I feel like people say this every year, that's a team that they like too. Great rivalry here. I feel like in the first game, though, the Vikings are going to slightly edge this one out by the Packers. I don't think in the long run it's going to mean that much, as overall, Packers to me are a much better team. But just right now, man, there's always that weird Green Bay loss at the beginning of the year, and I think this is it. Last year was the Saints. This year, I feel like it's going to be the Vikings. Then our Sunday night game going to be the Buccaneers and the Cowboys, rematch of that great season opener we had 2 years ago. Tom Brady coming back. Dak Prescott obviously still there. I see it going pretty much the same way as we had 2 years ago in that opener. See Bucks taking this one. Pretty close game, though. Cowboys fans oddly quiet this year. Makes me a little nervous. And then for Monday Night Football on ESPN, the debut of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman up in that booth, we have the Broncos and the Seahawks. I mean, come on. It's going to be the Broncos are going to take this. No way Russ is going to go into Seattle and lose this game. No way. Especially with this new story that just came out that he was actually allegedly in trade rumors before. So definitely taking that. Save those picks. We're going to add these up all year long. I'll be doing these picks every Friday for the show. Hopefully keep it pretty quick as we are hitting some big-time MMA events coming up. And speaking of MMA, one more check-in for the events of UFC 279. No update. Last update being the fact that it seems as if Tony Ferguson and Nate Diaz is looking to be the main event. Five rounds, 170. Which, way better, in my opinion, than the fight that we were initially going to have with Khamzat Chimaev, who will now seemingly, allegedly, be facing Kevin Holland after missing weight. But that is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. I know it's been a busy week. I wanted to have two episodes out here today, split these up, but it's just been so busy. I'm fighting a little bit of a cold right now, so I wanted to get this episode out for you guys today. And I'll be sure to break down next Wednesday. I promise I'll be back, regular time, regular place. Everything that goes down at UFC 279, if it happens anymore, break down a little bit more football. And hey, we never know what we're going to talk about here on this show. But I want to thank you guys so much for listening to the Watch It Podcast.